I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Toronto votes this October. In the lead-up to the 2022 municipal election, CGRU is reaching out to all candidates in the downtown wards. Today, Carolyn Murphy joins CGRU to discuss her decision to run for Ward 13 Toronto Centre. As a longtime resident and as an independent candidate, she hopes to bring long-term solutions to the issues and concerns of the ward.
My name is Caroline Murphy, and I'm currently running for city councillor position for Ward 13 Toronto Centre.
Right. And when did you make the decision to run for Ward 13?
I would say the final decision was made in June to run. I had to do some weighing up and so forth. So the final decision was made in June, and then went through the process of having to get the endorsements for my nomination. So it was closer to the end of June when I actually submitted my papers for running for the council job.
Mm-hmm. And why did you decide you wanted to become a city councillor?
I have been an incredibly proud resident of Ward 13 for well over 20 years. After I immigrated over from Ireland, I came into this ward. And it was incredible. We were neighbors together. There was an opportunity for me to grow as a person, for me to grow professionally, for me to meet and learn, so many different people and so much diversity in the area. And over the last few years, I have become increasingly worried that the same opportunities that I received as a new immigrant to Canada back in, the mid-90s, I'm not seeing those same opportunities across the ward anymore. I'm seeing a lot of divisive language. I'm hearing divisive language and adversarial language and, a world where we seem to be us versus them, as opposed to recognizing the power of, social inclusivity and social cohesiveness. I think, and what was my desire to run for city councillor is, it's time for me to really put my name forward and say I want to be a part of a positive change, a change that makes sense. I've always believed in giving back, and I think with my professional experience, I have worked for myself. I've worked internationally as well as, within Canada and within Ontario. I have a lot of experience, not to mention, being a part of other agencies, supporting them either, through fundraising or participating in their events or, raising awareness. Now is the time that I bring all of that together. And I go out to Ward 13 and I say, please honor me with voting for me on October 24th to be your city councillor, so that we together continue down a path that makes sense for all of us.
Great. I'd like to hear more about that. Can you tell me more about the experiences you believe prepared you for the campaign?
I've worked in the financial services. I've had governance roles, project management. But in essence, majority of my working career has been about negotiating, win-win situations through difficult scenarios for various clients in the financial services sector. I have also worked, as a small business owner. So I do understand the pains that a small business owner can go through in trying to keep everything working and moving forward. And from a financial services standpoint and a professional standpoint, it has always been about working together, working collaboratively, coming up with the decisions that make sense for us all, and ensuring that we are moving in the right direction towards solutioning for whatever issues have come up or problems and so forth. So I would say, you know, I've been over 20 years in leadership roles, you know, having teams working with me, building collaboratively across multiple organizations, across multiple geographies. So, you know, whether it was Europe or in South America or America or in Canada. So I have a lot of experience in working in diverse environments with diverse people, leading us through to ensuring the ultimate success for us all. And I just think that with my, you know, philanthropic work, with my engagement within communities, I've always had a good ear to the ground and sense of talking with people, because at the end of the day, it's about listening.
You know, Kristen Wong Tam, they were the city councilor for quite some time in Ward 13 and the former Ward 27. They're fairly popular, a trusted voice for the community and its residents. How do you think you can earn this voter's trust that's been a very, you know, it's been accustomed to, Kristen?
Well, I mean, Kristen did do great work during the ward, during her tenure as city councilor. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for Kristen. I've worked, actually cycled to Montreal with Kristen, doing Friends for Life bike rally for PWA. But I think earning trust, it isn't something that's a given. So I don't like to use, you know, adages, but like proof is in the pudding. I will be there. I am already there. I have been, as I say, involved in numerous community events and being a part of numerous community organizations. But I truly believe in giving the information that is required, communicating, being accessible, and being held to account for, you know, being accessible. So I think building trust is something that is earned through showing that I will be there. I do listen. I do want to work with you. I want us to be together as we move things forward, because it's together we will understand. So I would have to say, you know, you're right. Kristen's very well respected, very well known, is trusted. And I will work to continue moving things forward through building trust with the various community associations, the community leaders, residents, the local businesses, and working collaboratively with everybody so that the trust is earned.
All right, getting to the platform and the main concerns of Toronto Centre, I'd just like to hear your thoughts and comments on each one. So for the first one, I'd like to know your thoughts on affordable housing.
Affordable housing is definitely, you know, has to be top of priority. I'm, you know, going to say we're a world-class city. You know, affordable housing is a global issue, but here locally, we can solution this, and we can solution it through working together. I would have to say the number one way of doing it is actually addressing it at its root cause. So development for the sake of development is not going to solution affordable housing. There's numerous elements to affordable housing. There's keeping people in their homes. There's helping people get into their homes. Then there's, you know, the maintenance and of the whole process of affordable housing. So there's a lot of things that we can be doing together to really focus on and work on, you know, ensuring that we do have housing that A is sufficient for those who wish home ownership and have access to home ownership, to those who, you know, need short-term shelter, to, you know, the support mechanisms that are out there. I will also say, you know, part of it is, you know, we need to be accountable to and be held to account all the dollars that are spent to make sure that we are working with the communities in creating housing that makes sense and works for them. So the affordable crisis at the moment, and it is a crisis, the term is used, crisis, The affordability is a well-known challenge that we're facing. We can do better, but doing quick solutions, building for the sake of building, that's not addressing affordable housing. We really need to understand all the causes, get proper data to be able to determine how we build out housing and the needs of the various communities that housing is going to be put into, as well as ensuring that we have sufficient infrastructure and that we have, housing that meets the multi-generational needs.
And for the next one, it's related to affordable housing, but the shelter system and tent encampments.
So, I mean, we saw the housing or the hotels being used. Now, these aren't my words. These are the Auditor General's words. If we're going to use them, then we need to ensure that there's proper accountability and there's transparency with how these hotels, let's say, are being chosen, but also how they're being operated. So we have a bigger item to look at here than just being in isolation of like hotelling slash and or any one particular area. When you see an Auditor General's report saying that over $13 million was overspent, that rooms were left unoccupied, we need to do better there. We need to make sure that if we are giving, hotel rooms, it's not the solution, and it needs to be a short-term solution for those who needed help. And I recognize during the pandemic there were certain challenges, and we needed a solution quickly, but not at the sake of proper auditability and accountability. When you understand and listen that, the third party providers or the caseworkers aren't sharing notes across platforms, there's a lot of work to be done to make these make sense and to be manageable and to be of benefit for our vulnerable people using them. So in reality, it is about, it's controlling the cost. It's does it make sense and where they're located? Are they in the right area at the right time with the right support mechanism for those utilizing them? As to encampments and tents and parks, you know what? Shame on us. I will be honest, there is no reason that we have tents in a park. We are a city that we say we're a world-class city. Our parks have people living in them because we don't have the right supports. We don't have the right infrastructure. We haven't shared, sufficient trainings with relevant support peoples. So we need to do better together. And part of that is, like I said, controlling the finances to make sure the money is going where it needs to be, making sure we have the right infrastructure to support people in the communities in which they're in, and to be sure that we're, creating an environment where people truly are safe. And this shouldn't be long-term solutions. These are, so yeah, they've served their purpose, but now we need to make sure that we have the right processes in place to really support people.
For my next one is, how will you help with climate action in Ward 13?
I am actually part of the Climate Action Neighbourhood Change Champions. Which was a it's an initiative under Transform TO via the city. Dealing with the environment and climate action, again, we need to ensure that everything we're doing is sustainable. And again, I'll go back to, if we're developing for the sake of developing and we're taking out trees and we're taking out things, we need to make sure that we can replenish, that we are doing an infrastructure that makes sense. So more transit friendly. We need to make our streets people friendly. It's well known that, having some nature around you is a calming effect in a city. There's some great projects in the works, and there's great initiatives that the city has put forward to help with, whether it's solar energy or going to electrical vehicles or even, implementing different transit lines that help with the removal of emissions and so forth, and reaching the target that Toronto has set to be zero emissions. But absolutely. So one thing I will say is I'm actually running my campaign as a sustainable campaign. So, and by that I mean I don't want election signs that end up in the landfill. Any print material will be on recycled or sustainable materials. I'll utilize social media and other platforms to be able to disseminate my message. But environment as well is instrumental, because if we don't look after the climate and if we don't look after our environment, then what are we doing? Because it won't matter. So sustainability and climate action has to be at the forefront of everything we're thinking about, because again, it's not just about today, it is about tomorrow. What are we leaving after us? How are we moving things forward in a manner that is respectful of the lands in which we are? Because we're borrowing Earth. So we have to be respectful of our lands and our environment and each other, and ensure that we are creating this sustainable world so that we are giving back to the environment.
My next one, and it's actually related to what you just said, but
Okay.
how will you make the world safer for pedestrians and cyclists?
There's some great initiatives that are taking place within, Region Park and, their social development plan, that I think, need to be spread further across our ward. We know that we do deserve safe streets. There's a lot that goes into it. We need to ensure that we have sufficient policing and that we're supporting our police officers and they have the training that they need. We need to make sure that every interaction, like I said, these crisis intervention teams can make assessments and ensure that we're not deploying police unnecessarily, and the police can focus on what they need to do. But it is also about, taking a look at some initiatives that, need to be fleshed out more, such as, the buddy systems or, easy access telephones, or having more people on the streets, creating greater lighting, creating communities, and ensuring development is done in a manner which promotes safer streets. And that we have things, in an open, transparent way within the community, supporting them. We need to work with our youth to ensure that our youth are being given the skill sets and enough resources and supports in order to ensure that, they have a fulfilling life and are, moving forward, feeling safe and secure, and not being exposed to, other elements that may later lead to unsafe streets. So it's again together working that we can create the safer streets, and everything feeds into itself, because if you have affordable housing and we have the right, social network support systems, and we have the right in infrastructure, and we look after our environment and have trees and are living sustainably, it all starts to feed into itself that we can create the safer world, the safer environment. So there's a number of steps that can be taken and enhanced, and we can learn from other cities as well. But it all has to be worked in a manner that makes sense to the community in which you're also looking at what are their safe street challenges or issues, and how we solution to the particular neighborhood, because Ward 13 is so diverse.
And you've already touched on it a little bit, but I'd like to know more about your thoughts on police reform and funding.
Okay. I believe our police officers do need proper support, and they do need proper funding. We look to them to help maintain our safer, to maintain safe streets. Unfortunately, over the last number of years, there's been, we've asked more of them than what it is their core role is, which is about, serving and protecting. So we need more, we need more police officers in, which will also feed back into safe streets in the communities that they're working in. So these neighborhood liaison police officers, so they understand the intricacies and the diversity within each pocket and each area of the community. They do need, more training for if they are suddenly faced with a mental health crisis. Defunding the police isn't something I think necessarily makes sense. We have to make sure if we're going to, let's say, reduce our police force, do we have sufficient support throughout our society and throughout our ward to maintain the supports that are needed?
So for the next one on the platform, I'd like to know your thoughts on how you would address 2S LGBTQ plus rights and concerns.
I think, in short, it's working with each other, with our community, and helping through education. It's helping through, community resources. It's ensuring that the support mechanisms that are required are there. It's ha having some of our leaders come out of those communities. I mean, it's a diverse world we're living in. And everybody has had, different experiences, some positive, some negative. We do have challenges as a society. It's through the open, honest communications. And I certainly look forward to being a part of the communications into a broader network to help support the community, to help support each other. There are concerns. There's real issues that are out there, and again, we're in a diverse world. We need to recognize each other for who we are, and we need to have pride in who we are, and we need to work together to respect each other and to build cohesive unity. And again, I go back to it's us as a community, as neighbors, in the whole sense of Ward 13. And so that's through outreach, it's through communication, it's through understanding, it's through listening that we will succeed.
For my next question, I would like to know your opinion on the strong mayor system and how you will work as a city councillor to maintain accountability on the mayor.
At the end of the day, you never want to see our municipal politics turn autocratic. So there would have to be a very, there would have to be concern. We have to be aware that if we don't have the right robust structure in place, we could open ourselves up to an autocratic municipality and have things, decided on. I know there's a couple of other cities that have, strong mayors, and they have their processes in place. Knowing as of right now, so I can't speak to what the final decision is, because I haven't heard what that would actually look like. As of right now, over three, if you can get three quarters of city council, banding together, it could overturn a veto that the mayor does. I would have to say, again, it comes back to collaborating and working together. So it is about listening, it is about communication, and it is about we need to work together. I recognize this election is like Ward 13, and you said you were covering Ward 11, but Toronto as a whole, there's a lot that needs to be solutioned. And not every, again, going back to affordable housing or safe streets, that's not unique to Ward 13. We have those concerns across the board. So it's about building the collaborative city council to work together to go, no, and we will hold the mayor to account when whether it's a he or a she in the future, or they uses their veto power, we can still work together to manage it. So it is about, again, listening to the voices of our community.
What would you like to tell voters right now in the lead up to the election?
Your voice matters. Your vote counts. Be engaged. Our future depends on us. So we need to be engaged. We need to be aware of what's going on. We need to understand each other and each community's nuance as well as similarities. This is an important election. It's the second round of 25 wards. Your questioning already has shown and demonstrated all the concerns that are on pretty well every Torontonian's, and I know for sure with every person I've talked with in Ward 13, affordable housing, safer streets, all these things matter. So we have to be engaged in order to ensure that the right solutions are being put in place for the right reasons at the right time. And the only way you can do that is understanding that the political world that we've lived in for the last 4, 8, 12 years, it hasn't solutioned. And if you don't want more of the same, then be a part of the solution. I tell you, I would love if your listeners come and join us on this journey. Come and volunteer with the campaign. Learn about, all the things that we're working on and volunteer to really become involved, whether it's on this campaign or in some other way. But talk to each other. They can reach us. The website is carolinemurphy.ca. That's CarolineMurphy .ca. Come be a part of this journey. Learn about our municipal elections and all the things that we do, and how you as an individual can become engaged.
Hey, great. Before we go, are there any other final thoughts you would like to add?
Well, there's something I've been saving for you, Daniel, and only for you. I've made a decision that as a part of this campaign, I intend to run my campaign in the manner in which I intend to also operate as a city councillor. And that is about sustainability. It is about giving back. It is about, collaboration and working with our community associations, our community leaders, and each and every person in our ward. And to that end, I was giving some thought to that. And one thing, so you're getting this hot off the press. Nobody else knows. It's just you, Daniel, and for your listeners. But the amount of money that is spent on a campaign, it's too much. I went on, I looked at previous campaigns and the costs and that. I want my campaign to matter. No matter what happens, I want my campaign to matter. So I'm actually going to say for every donor who wants to donate to my campaign, I would ask them to consider reducing the amount by 25% and taking that and giving it to a local charity of their choosing.
That was Carolyn Murphy, candidate for Ward 13, Toronto Centre. Toronto's municipal election is scheduled for October 24th. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.